When it comes to fundraise, I mean, one of the pillars of fundraising is trust, all right? So, I mean, the entire Nigerian system, I would say, have kind of lost trust.
Hi, and welcome to another wonderful episode of How We Build Web3 in Africa. And I'm here with George Mosomi. George, how are you doing today?
A pleasure as always, Daniel. And we're super excited today to host Uzo, who is the COO and co-founder of an exciting company that he'll tell us about. But Daniel, as always, a pleasure to be here building Web3 in Africa, meeting founders, developers, marketers, people from the whole African space, African continent, making a future for this continent.
Sure thing. And here's the thing, right? The guest we have here today, which is Uzo, is, I want to say this as the most humble way as possible, he's a Nigerian, a normal Nigerian, a normal guy, just like you and I, and he's doing incredible things. And that's why we got him here today, right? I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but he's making some incredible movement in the forward direction for his company. And I hope he will be able to share with us that process. But basically, we're here with Uzo Chukwu Mbamalu, right? Hopefully I didn't spoil that name.
That's exactly right. You pronounce it rightly. So it's Mbamalu.
Correct.
Sure.
Mbamalu. Ah, beautiful.
Yeah, nice to have me
Welcome.
Here, George and Daniel. I'm very happy to be in your show. And yeah.
So here's the thing that caught my attention. I was going through your profile just before this call, and I saw this picture of you with this apron, right? Where your mom's shop, she sells fish. I'm not sure which state is that, right? But she sells fish, if I'm correct. And you're with this apron with this butcher knife.
That's correct.
And that was 2015. This is 2022. That's like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. That's like 7 years. How do you move from being the guy who is on the street selling fish to become a founder of PowerRabbit?
Yeah, I mean, me in 2015 is just this young guy, very inquisitive. I mean, that's one thing about me. I'm just very inquisitive. I want to know more. And that inquisitiveness, you know, drove me into doing so much research in finance, and as well as not just finance, also technology in the broad sense. I do a lot of research when it comes to renewable energy, even aerodynamics, by the way. So it's just me being very, I don't know, very, very inquisitive, you know. And then that inquisitiveness also drove me into learning about crypto. So I started crypto in 2017 and, you know, investing in crypto, trading crypto. And then I think I started at a very good period, by the way. That was like very close to the bull market. So the bull market peaked in 2018, and then we had, you know, everybody was just making money. We had a bubble of ICOs. Literally, if you invest $1,000, you can make $10,000 easily. You don't need to be any smart to do that, right? So, I mean, that experience of, hey, these guys are making money in this space, all right? I mean, that was when I made my first million naira, actually. I mean, that was like, is it 1,000 plus then? So, I mean, that excitement also, you know, made me more inquisitive, actually, to not just to remain in the space or to also do research as to, you know, what's other utility. Is it just buying and flipping of coins? I mean, what's more about this crypto thing? All right. So those things was really kept me. And then although I kind of paused after the bull market in 2018, I made so much money. I made about how many Bitcoin? I can't remember. But by the way, I made so much money. And I almost lost everything because, well, if you make the money real quick, I started trading futures, by the way, and I lost about 3.6 Bitcoin, something like that. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, the trauma of the loss made me to pause a little bit. So I went into digital marketing. I started doing digital marketing for about a whole year. And then I made some money. I took that money, you know, went back into the market in 2019, 2020, and then you know, made some profit from, I actually bought BNB at a very, very low price. I made some profit from BNB. I don't want to start mentioning figures, but I made, you know, quite some huge numbers, you know, investing in BNB, by the way. So that was the money I used. And, you know, I started thinking, okay, what's next? All right. I've experienced the bull market in 2018 and I know what's possible. All right. It's a cycle. It's a business cycle. Now, what's next? All right. What if this cycle is over? What's the next phase of my life? And that's where I started thinking of, I mean, I need to build something around this crypto thing, right? And then that whole idea made me, I traveled to about 8 countries, by the way. And then one of the things I experienced traveling to those countries, you know, is the ease of FX, all right? So how do people in Nigeria easily convert their Naira for local currencies, all right? To foreign currencies, sorry. If you travel from Nigeria to Ghana, how do you do that easily? You know, that's a very big problem. So you need to exchange Naira for US dollars, and then you travel with your dollars, you know, to the country you're traveling to, and then you go to a brick and mortar broad exchange, and then you do all of those exchange, the hustle, the, you know, it's just so much work. I mean, and not just that, for most people that don't really understand this technique, I tell you, they get frustrated. There's a particular country I traveled to, actually it's in Rwanda. You know, I traveled to Rwanda and I almost slept on the streets. You know, I'm always grateful to, there's a guy that helped me. I always call him from time to time and I say, hey bro, thank you for helping me. You know, so he saw me at the airport. I was freezing, like it was like 14 degrees. And then he said, hey, what are you doing here? I said, bro, I have money in my local currency. I have millions in my local currency, but I can't exchange it for your currency. And I paid for an Airbnb and then the guy turned to be a scammer. So, I mean, what do I do? I'm just stuck here, all right? He said, no problem, come. I'm going to help you. And that's how, you know, we found someone in Nigeria and we were able to exchange Naira for US dollars and all of those long process. You know, so that's one of the big problem I found, you know, for most people traveling, you know, for most Nigerians, expatriates. And, you know, Nigerians travel a lot. So I not just only Nigerians, actually was trying to solve this problem in a broad scope in the entire Africa. So, but focusing more on West Africa, all right? So, I mean, I was like, how do we solve this problem, all right? And then we see the possibilities in crypto and in blockchain. And then we say, hey, we could leverage on blockchain to, you know, solve this problem. And that's what we're doing at Pyramid, all right? So we started Pyramid. You know, the whole idea, creating the website, the application, you know, all the whole business formation and all of the, you know, everything. So we started it in about 2021, and that was like last year. And then we keep building and then, you know, here we are. So, you know, right now in Pyramid, one of the biggest progress we've made so far is we are going to deploy a physical card. You know, that's what will make the vision really a reality in the sense that, hey, if you can fund with Naira, all right, if you can fund with Naira, you could literally travel with our card and then you could withdraw, you could spend your Naira, you know, in 150 countries using our FS card. So, I mean, that solves the problem of, you know, traveling and then you have to go to the broad exchange, all of those hassle, you know, traveling from Nigeria to Ghana, you have to do same. I mean, think about it. So you don't need to go through those hassles anymore. With our physical card, it's going to be a physical card. You could order the card and then spend, you know, it's a MasterCard. You could spend in 150 countries using our card. So, I mean, that solves the problem of FX issues. And all of these things are done using a crypto blockchain. And, you know, yeah, so that's the whole chain of my journey linking to Pyramid.
Oh, that's wonderful. You actually meant you were almost going to sleep on the road?
Yeah, I mean, at the airport, actually, because I paid for the Airbnb.
Oh!
Yeah, I paid for the Airbnb, and I reached out to this guy. Hey, I mean, I made this payment, and it turned out he was a scammer. I had to do a dispute, by the way, you know, to recover my money back. And, you know, there's a limit on the Naira card, so I can't really book for another, all right? So, I mean, that's the problem, all right? And I don't have a dollar card, by the way. I don't have a dollar card, all right? So that's like... Yeah. I mean, so, but with what we have right now, you don't need a dollar card. You could spend your Naira, literally. You could spend your cedis. You could spend your Kenyan shillings, you know, your Rwandan franc. You could spend those currency literally anywhere you travel to, you know. You know, and that's yeah. also bringing more utility into the crypto space. Like literally, people are buying Bitcoin right now to turn a profit, which is good actually. And that's why we're building what we're building. We made profit from the whole thing. But then, I mean, what's more about it? Is it just, you know, buying and flipping and, you know, the whole euphoria in crypto and all? I mean, there's something way more, and that's what we're doing, yeah. building utility. So crypto payments.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, I really love the journey that you've spoken about, and it just takes me back to the even before the first 1 or 2 years of my life or in the blockchain space. You know, I was in that element of the euphoria, building and making money. And one of the things which came to my, which I realized, is when money stops being the object, it's so much easier to think about more innovation, like what next. And I yeah. see that's the same thing where you found yourself when you're no longer thinking about how, what am I making, or what am I making for my monthly or daily bread. You now start thinking almost on another level. Sure. And it's so unfortunate because you find that a big chunk of the continent probably doesn't have that freedom to potentially ask or be in a space where they can start innovating, because I'm trying to get my meal for the day. And that's the bridge that we're trying to build out here in terms of making remittances cheaper, such as what Uzo is doing. That was just mind-blowing and fascinating how your journey moved you from this space of getting the profits to a place of trying to innovate and creating a solution to a problem that is shared across this continent.
Why? This resonates. Remember when you came into Nigeria, Joe, the time we met in Lagos, mm-hmm. and you had to change all the money you had in your hand right at the airport,
yeah.
so
yeah.
usable for you. I know there's yes. a point where we ran out of cash while we're having fun at the beach, right?
Yes.
And we had to pull magic out to be able to finish paying the expenses of the things we do. So I think in a very deep way, you especially understand the hassle of trying to find ways to change money, even though you have the money right there in the account. And this brings up another beautiful idea, because, you know, one question in my head is, okay, why can't you use your debit card out there? What we experienced, because I know when we're going to pay for the beach, remember, well, you didn't mm-hmm. you haven't come at that time. So what happened is another friend of ours, which, you know, he wanted to, he's from French, from France. I don't want to mention his name there, because I don't know if he wants us to do that. He tried paying with his card and it was blocked because he's in Nigeria, right? So what is a French card doing in Nigeria trying to make payment? And they flagged it and all that for you. So what I'm trying to get at is, I really understand the value of the payment, the payment issue you're trying to solve, and FX issues too. So it makes a lot of sense to me.
Sure.
George.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Daniel. And it was, you know, one of the things which in the VC space in Africa, everyone is like, oh, why do we need another payments provider? But maybe you can speak to us, Uzo, about the opportunity. And from my experience, there's still not enough providers. There's still so much that can be done in this space. So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what your experience is and how, you know, you're working through the competition and what you hope to see for your product.
Yeah, so, you know, whenever I'm asked, like, everybody's creating a fintech in Nigeria, in Africa, you know, what makes us unique, you know, and, you know, what makes us unique is what we're really focusing on. Of course, you know, it's not just one of these crypto exchanges out there. We have the Pioneer Exchange, which is Binance, all right? So why create a Binance exchange, something like Binance, where we have a big competitor? Like, I mean, it doesn't really add up. It doesn't make so much sense. I mean, so we're not really focusing on that, although we have those features, all right? So, but the main thing we're focusing on is, hey, we just need to make FX easily accessible in Africa, right? That's our core focus, right? And that's what we're working on. So that's our competitive edge, and that's what will make us different and, you know, make the most, all right, as a company. So.
So I hear what you're saying, right? And it makes a lot of sense again, right? Given the fact that we have a large number of people who travel across different countries, it makes sense to have something. And what's making this exceptionally amazing for me is because it was born out of a problem you had, right? And I kind of want to go and visit back. How was it like for you? And what made you think that those pain could be expanded towards a lot of people, that similar people will have exactly the same problem across the world?
Yeah, so I know it's not just data, actually. I mean, I know people within my environment in Nigeria that, you know, travel. Like, it's a thing in Nigeria that people want to japa. That's the word, all right? So people want to leave. Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing, actually. If you leave Nigeria, to expand your knowledge, then, if you develop yourself and you return back to your country to, you know, to invest what you've learned, that's good, all right? That's some economic value to Nigeria, as it were. Or probably you travel out of Nigeria and, hey, you don't want to return, that's fine. I mean, Nigerians remit how many billion dollars every year? I mean, that money would have been lost and if they didn't leave to become productive outside. Anyway, so people travel a lot, especially Nigerians, they travel a lot. Like all of the countries I travel to, even in Uganda, I mean, I saw Nigerians there. Not just Nigerians, a lot of Nigerians. So, I mean, it's a thing I know most people in Africa, especially in Nigeria, face, you know, and the data also shows that, hey, people travel a lot, you know, within the African space. So, I mean, so that's why we're trying to solve. It's a very big market, all right? So you won't just say, hey, I mean, Nigerians won't travel anymore. I know there are lots of Nigerians that it's their dream to leave the shores of Nigeria. It was my dream, actually. So I believe many young people also want to experience this and want to make it very easy for them to exchange currency whenever they do. So that's, yeah.
So what stage are you right now on this process? Can I just go to your website now and then put in and get this card and start?
Okay, so the stage we are currently in right now is, you know, like we're trying to revamp the whole thing, actually. You know, so the card partnership we had is making us to revamp and the whole application altogether. So we're building Powerremit 2.0.
Okay.
You know, that Powerremit 2.0 is going to, you know, give you this leverage of ordering the card. You know, you have the FS card. You could literally spend this card in 150 countries. And you can also exchange currencies and also cryptos. You know, you could do literally anything you could do on a normal currency exchange. You could do everything virtually this time. So, I mean, it's something very unique, actually. So that's the stage we are currently in right now. We're building everything from scratch. You know, it costs so much money, but I mean, we just got some funding, by the way, to do that. So that's why we're building everything from scratch. So.
Okay, so what you're saying now is this: you're trying to build this. It's still in development and not something we can go out and.
Yeah, I mean, we it's still in beta stage right now. So we've built, but we're still currently testing those features. Oh. So before it fully goes live.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're building. That's the two word. Yeah.
That's a good one. So here's something that somebody like me would be concerned about, right? I'm a big advocate for the blockchain solving middleman problems, right? And I kind of understand what you are at and with what's going on in the world. Remember the collapse of FTX? It brings a lot of fear to people, the end user, who have to have somebody in the middle between their money and making exchange. And I understand there's a long way for us to go to make this transition into going fully using the blockchain. So I kind of like see your platform as Web 2.5, right? I'll give that to you. So the question now is, what happens with security? How do this card tie to my account? And is it secure? For example, if my card gets stolen, how do I quickly take it off the platform? Those are sort of the questions how we're thinking in my head right now.
Yeah, of course. One of the things we really are very concerned about is security and as well as compliance. You know, so when it comes to security, you know, like you just mentioned, if your card gets stolen, you could literally report your card to our system. And then it'll just like the normal card you have, you know, like the banking card, right? So it automatically gets, you know, it can get blocked. So there's no transaction done. So when it comes to regulation and compliance, that's one thing we really want. In fact, I'm an advocate of, you know, telling the government, hey, we want you guys to regulate anybody doing any touching fiat should be under the regulation of the government. All right. So I'm an advocate of that. So everything we're doing, it has to be fully compliant, right? Based on every government regulation. So that's, yeah. So it's within our scope of, business. So we focus on mostly on, we need to comply, and then security is also one thing. So yeah. So fully compliant, and as well as having the security of our customers in mind, is key for us.
It's beautiful. You know, what you mentioned earlier is every place you go, you find a Nigerian. If I may share a little bit of statistics. First of all, Nigeria is stated to have a population of 211 million. And the total continent population is 1.2 billion. So in essence, what we're saying is out of every 10 people, 1.7 people are Nigerians. out of every 10 Africans, 1.7 is a Nigerian. So that's why you get to see them in all parts of this continent. Yeah. But man, it's really exciting. And, maybe before we close off, we'd love to hear about your fundraising journey. And we have a lot of people who are also in that process, discovering their products, trying to find out how they can identify a niche problem and really go after the solution. And in that process, some of them might bootstrap, some might go for funding. Do you have like an explanation of how your journey has been or what you can advise people to do? It can be your top three things.
Okay. When it comes to fundraise, one of the pillars of fundraising is trust. All right. So, the entire Nigerian system, I would say, have kind of lost trust. They lost the VC kind of trust. So if you are a startup and you're an entrepreneur and you're looking for funding, you have a very good idea, all right, tested, probably you have users, as it were, and then you're looking for funding. One of the things you need to do is, if you can afford it, you just need to leave the geography called Nigeria. I'm sorry I'm saying this. Anyways, yeah, you need to leave. It's going to give you, to some degree, a level of profile to VCs that, hey, he's a Nigerian actually, but then he's not within that sphere of distrust, as it were. And they can trust you more. All right. And if you can't afford it, just get a mentor, get somebody that is of high reputation that, hey, look at what I'm doing. All right. Can you recommend VCs? Can you, people that can stand for me? And you get people that can stand for you, right? To recommend the guys with the money men, all right? So that's one way you could literally win the trust of VCs and get funding. All right. So I think those are the two major things you can do. And also you can also like what we did when we started. We literally started with the profits we made, all right, from trading. So you can learn a skill and then make money from your skills, and then deploy those capital to building. So that's another way.
That's an interesting advice, because actually what I was doing during the weekend while preparing for this show, right, I don't know, I stumbled on this YouTube channel that was talking about the process for raising funds, right? They talk about having somebody who can introduce you. It makes it really, really, really beautiful for you, because once you have somebody who introduces you, you cut the aspect of who is this guy or I don't have the time, right? And make sure that at least a person would dedicate maybe like 5-10 minutes to you. And then what would sell him now would now be the ideas and then the presentation process. But from what you're saying, it's even far more difficult if you are a Nigerian, because you really need to have trust, like a big one, because if every single person, you usually need somebody who will make an introduction, you as a Nigerian, you need like to be trusted like a lot more.
Yeah, so the reason why I'm saying it's difficult for Nigerians, especially if you're into the fintech space. So it's not just every it's if you're into the fintech space, because we know there's this connotation that has to do with young people in Nigeria, with internet fraud and all. Yeah. So, you're talking to a VC, you're more like, to some degree, a Yahoo pro telling them about crypto card.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? are you not a Yahoo boy? Something like that. Like, so it's more, yeah. you're just like a Yahoo pro. Like, this guy is a proficient Yahoo boy, because if he knows all of these things, it means, man. So that's the, I'm not saying if you're an entrepreneur, you need to leave. What I'm saying is it all depends on the space, right? So if you're into, let's say the fintech space, it's important. If you don't have somebody of a top hierarchy that can introduce you to VCs, you need to leave, because, well,
okay,
if you discuss with a VC, like, you know, on the internet or wherever, and then they say, hey, you're in Nigeria, and okay, and then they know everything about the internet fraud and you're into fintech, it's hard. You know, it's very difficult. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just peculiar to me, but I believe that's the case for most people. You know, they face the same problem talking to VCs. I mean, discussing card payments, card processing, and then, well, you just look like a Yahoo yep. boy, Yahoo pro boy. So that's something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a crazy place to be.
It's the sad truth, but I think what you suggested is really important. And in terms of what I've seen working in the East African side, and I'm sure there's similar groups in the Nigeria side, is we've had like a set of entrepreneurs who started building their products. And within that ecosystem, there's a lot of accountability. So you have like a bunch of entrepreneurs in Kenya who have this KE Techpreneurs group. And anytime one of their companies is seen to do something which is out of practice or out of the norm, someone really quickly calls them out and they're able to fix it. And I think it's part of what we're trying to build so that we can have more trust in this ecosystem. I love the openness and the commitment to a trust system that we are all trying to engage in.
Okay, it's been a wonderful time with you here. Well, before you go, we just want to say, any last words for any guy, a young guy out there in Africa as a whole, not just Nigeria, who's trying to come up with an idea or who have the idea and it's in the phase of building and probably looking for funding? What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to leave them with the word of, of Mark Zuckerberg. Like, you don't really know. I mean, you just have to start, all right? You just have to start, and then you don't know. When you start, that's when the whole process will start unveiling. And that's the case with us, all right? When I started, it wasn't very, very clear, you know, so I had to travel. I have to do more research. And then before it became even more clearer, hey, this is the problem you're trying to solve. You know, so I mean, you just need to start, and then as you keep building, more ideas will start opening up, and then you start, you start identifying yourself even more, the solution you're trying to solve. So
yeah, that's a wonderful advice, and I think it's also something that worked with us too. It's just to start, go ahead first, and things will become clearer as you go down the line. It's been wonderful having you on the show. I know that. Where can people reach you, Uzo?
Yeah, mostly I'm very active on LinkedIn, by the way. So if you just search me up, my name is Uzo Chukwumbamalu. If you search me up on LinkedIn, you could send me a DM. I mean, we could connect there. And I always put out crypto content, crypto education content, fintech, whatever, blockchain. You know, that's where you are not just my connection, you're also learning, all right? And I share my story too.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's an awesome one. Yeah, by the way, that's how I found out that he was once a fish boy. Anyway, just me trying to be funny. Uh-huh. So it's been a wonderful episode, and we've learned a lot. Thanks for coming in, Uzo. And for you guys who are watching this, please like. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. And drop us a comment. Let us know what you think about this episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or any podcast platform you're listening at, please give us a 5-star and tell us what you think about this episode. It helps us get better at knowing what kind of content to create for you, and most importantly, it helps the algorithm show this episode to people who are just like you, who are in the process of building and looking for funding. Again, it's been an awesome time here. I've enjoyed myself. I'm sure George has, and Uzo. We'll see you next week. Peace out.
Thank you. Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.